Lord, thank you that it is powerful. Lord, we have so much access to it. Lord, help us to treasure your word, to hide it in our hearts that we won't sin against you, to do it. Lord, as the kids' song says, when you read it and you do it, you know, we need to do that, Lord. Please guide me as I share. Please give us ears to hear, Lord, hearts to obey. Please make it ring true in our lives, Lord, that we would be more pleasing to you, and that you, Lord, the power that you've given us, Lord, we could take hold of that and apply it. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, page 11. You may take notes on page 11 of your book. And also, I'm going to go through a whole lot of scriptures, okay? And if you don't get a chance to write everything down, I'll give you my email at the end, and I can just email you my whole notes, and they're all written out. And, you know, that's one of the things I encourage you to do is write out scripture, because as you write it and as you hear it and as you see it, the more of your senses that you get involved, the more it will be true in your life. And so we're going to do that. The title is Renewing Your Mind in the Light of God's Word so that we'll be transformed to shine. Based on Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Have you ever just wanted to know what the will of God is? Okay, well, we can know, you know, because God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And the way we do it is to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Bible really has a lot to say about our minds. I just picked out several verses. Another one is Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. It says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance to the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, that has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth. Matthew 16:23 says, but he turned to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. Do you know why he said that? It didn't dawn on me until I got to the rest of this verse. He says, you are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but on man's. Romans 8:6 says, for the mind of flesh is death, but the mind of the spirit is life and peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace. You know the rest of that? Whose mind is stayed on you. That's how we get perfect peace. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension will guard your heart and your mind. Good. I love this participation. Thank you. In Christ Jesus. Matthew 22, verses 36 to 38. They asked, teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. So if you look at these were eight verses. If you look at them and you compare the carnal mind or the fleshly mind with the mind of Christ, the renewed mind, if you keep your eyes on the things of the flesh, you're conformed to the world. You're being corrupted with lust and deceit. You're set your mind on the things that are on the earth. Your mind is like Satan's mind, and you're a stumbling block. And it's set on man's interest, and it's death. However, if your mind is transformed, renewed, then it proves what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. It's in the likeness of God, not the likeness of Satan. It's created in righteousness and holiness of truth. It's set on things that are above, set on God's interest. It brings life and peace, and it's kept in perfect peace, trusting in God, and it's guarded by peace that passes understanding. I know I want to understand things. I just really often feel like I need to understand things, and I've gone through like a just horrible last couple years, And there are so many things that I don't understand. And I've had to come to the point where, as long as God understands it, I'm okay. You know, and at any given time, people will ask me, how are you doing? Because so many people that I'm affiliated with in the ministry that I serve in, I mean, it's been very tumultuous. And as long as my mind is set on the things of God and who He is and who I am in Him, then it's good. But if my mind, which it often tends to do, hey, wait a minute. That's not fair. Okay. No problem. You can just give me the five sign when I'm ready. Okay. So if it's set on, you know, God and who He is, then I can have peace in the midst of a storm, which the storm is still raging, you know, around me. But it's amazing that we can have that peace. And I've experienced it, and it's so good. Now, we will have a session on spiritual warfare later today, but the mind is so tied in with spiritual warfare. And when we heard the book reviews, so many of those book reviews, I can sense this theme here, you know, is that we need to keep our mind on Christ and on His word. And so the enemy uses thoughts. He planted a thought in Eve, you know, surely you won't die. You know, you'll just gain understanding, you know. And so that was one of his attempts to dissuade her. And even when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he said he was trying to get Jesus to thwart God's plan, just go the easy way, just bow before me and I'll give you all this. You know, you don't have to go to the cross and suffer so much. So he is planting thoughts in our minds, and our minds often control our emotions. You know, you wouldn't be afraid if you didn't think, maybe there's someone outside my door. I heard that noise. It must be this or it must be that. If you didn't think that, you wouldn't be afraid. You know, but because sometimes the things that we think, it influences our emotions, which influence our words and our actions and who we become. And that's why if we can transform our mind in the light of God's truth, we can become that light that shines brightly. Ephesians 6:17 says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet protects our brains, you know, where our thoughts are. And the offensive weapon is the word of God, you know, the sword of the Spirit, the word of truth. So I just want to take a moment. If you all aren't saved yet, you don't have that helmet protecting your mind. So if you haven't made that decision to ask Christ into your life, please do it. Ask anyone here and they will help lead you, you know, to our Lord. 2 Corinthians 10 verses 4 to 5 say the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down every argument and high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When I do this, I think of fishing. I don't even fish, but I know that my thoughts can just go out there and I have to reel them back in. It's like, no, I refuse to think that. You know, I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking only on whatsoever things are true. And that leads us to our key verse for today. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And this book is, we have a few copies on the table. This book is life-saving, okay? So it didn't get reviewed, but it's called Loving God with All Your Mind by Elizabeth George. And the whole first six chapters of this book talk about whatever is true, just the very first part of Philippians 4:8. And so that has really helped me so much, asking the question, is it true? You know, is what I'm thinking true according to God's word? And, you know, you can be in a meeting and come away from that meeting and talk to other people who are in the same meeting, and their perception of what they heard is way different. Way different. And I've experienced where people are just so convinced and angry about something, and the other people are so convinced about something totally different, and they're all Christians, and you think, how could this be? But it is. It's perception. And so the only thing I can focus on is whatever is true. And so that's what we're going to talk about mostly today, just the very first part of Philippians 4:8 and the last part. Whatever is true, think about these things. That was New International Version. New American Standard Version says dwell on these things. New King James Version says meditate on these things. And the Amplified, one of my favorite versions, says think continually on these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. So this is not just a mere casual thought. You know, this is like really think on these things. Okay, so what do we know to be true? If we're going to only think on things that are true, what do we know to be true? There's really only two things in life that I know to be true. One is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's John 14:6. And then second is God's word. John 17:17 says, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. And this is what Jesus prayed after the Last Supper. Hence, he's praying to the Father. So in order to think on the truth, we have to know the truth, okay? We know our Bibles, we read our Bibles, but we have to really get it in us, as Cindy said this morning, so that we can give it out. It has to be held so that we can hold it out. And so there's four ways that we can know the truth. One is memorize it. Number two is meditate on it. Number three is pray it. Number four is do it. Memorize it. Hide it in your heart. Meditate on it. Really think, dwell on it. Pray it and do it. So we're going to do that now. Let's memorize it first, okay? Whatever is true, think on these things. Okay, I want you guys to say it with me. Whatever is true, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. I always forget to memorize the address, but we're going to do it, okay? This side? Whatever is true, think on those things. Philippians 4:8. Okay, now you guys go first. Whatever is true, think on these things. Philippians 4:8. Fortunately, that was a pretty easy one to memorize. I think we all got that down. Okay, good. Next one, we're going to meditate on it, and this will take a little bit longer. So, we know that God's word is true. If you think, if the Bible says whatever is true, think on these things, think of what the opposite is. Whatever is not true, don't think on those things. You know, that's where you have to reel in your thought. Don't think on those things. I am not going there. Okay? So you have to realize, recognize when your thoughts are not God's thoughts, and then reel them in and just turn your thoughts to God's thoughts, which are in his word. Okay. So this doesn't come naturally. I mean, especially for some of us, I have a tendency towards depression, towards discouragement, towards thinking the worst. And I have to reel in my thoughts a whole lot. I don't know where I would be or if I'd even still be alive today if I didn't do that, because I have been so depressed during different times in my life. And God's word is a balm, you know, when you feel so bad. And it just helps in so many ways. And so, like I said, it does influence your feelings and everything else. It can drain your energy if you're thinking on things that are not true. And it causes you to be ineffective. When you think things about yourself that are bad, you don't think about how God feels about you, then you're not focused on others. You're focused so on yourself, and you think, how can I minister to this person because they wouldn't even want to talk to me? You know, but if you're freed by what the word says about you, then you can go and minister to others. You know, you're just, I can see how I act differently when I'm confident in God and when I'm not, when I'm only thinking of myself. So we're going to start out talking about the truth of God and you. Have you ever felt like God must not love you because of the things that he's allowed to happen to you, or because of the things that you've done that you're not worthy to be loved? Is that true? What does God's word say about it? Jeremiah 13:3 says, the Lord appeared to him from afar, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. We all know John 3:16. You want to say that one together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He loves the world. Does he love the world, everybody but you? no, he loves you so much that he gave his own precious son. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Are we so bad that he doesn't love us? He couldn't love us? No, he loved us while we were yet sinners. According to Romans 8:17 and Ephesians 1:4-5, you are God's child, chosen before the foundations of the world, adopted according to his kind intention of his will, and you're a joint heir with Christ. He's got to love you. I mean, if we're joint heirs, he's got to love us. Do you struggle with ever feeling like God can't forgive me? You know, I just have done too much too often. I just keep failing. Is that true? No, of course not. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes we don't feel like we've been cleansed, but we have been. So we can grab hold of that and live like we have been cleansed. Colossians 1:13-14. For he rescued us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sin. We are forgiven. The word says it. It's true. When you think and feel something that's different from God's word, which one is right? His word is right. Okay? So if you feel differently, you need to reel in your thoughts, your feelings, and focus more on God's words. That's why we need to know his word so that we can think those things. We each have certain personality types and thought patterns and experiences, and so we're prone naturally to think in certain ways. And we have the enemy, who's called the father of truth, father of lies, okay? And he's the one who's trying to remind us of those things and who's trying to plant those thoughts. And so the Holy Spirit is not natural. Holy Spirit is supernatural, so we can overcome all those natural tendencies. God is way more powerful than the enemy, so it can be done. We just need to grab hold of it and let God do his work in our lives to believe it and to do it. God's word tells us that he sees us, he hears us, he knows us intimately. Before we were even born, he knew us. He formed us in our mother's womb. And he can forgive us way more than 70 times 7. Psalm 103, verse 14 says, "For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust." I love that verse lately, especially when I fail so many times and my expectations for myself are way higher, maybe sometimes, than God's are, you know, and he knows that I'm but dust. And I'm like, oh, here I am again, Lord. Please forgive me for the same thing that I just did 10 minutes ago, you know, and my thoughts. And sometimes the battle is so much that you have to realign your thoughts over and over and over and over again, even within a small time frame. And God's okay with that. He knows. He knows our frame, and he sees the future. Here's just a few more verses, some more truth about God. He's faithful and true, Revelation 19:11. His mercies are new every morning, Lamentations 3:23. The Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. That's Psalm 100, verse 5. And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. And here's some more truth about God and you. 2 Timothy 1:9 says he saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. 2 Corinthians 12:9, his grace is sufficient and his power is made perfect in weakness. As you read the word and as you learn it and you treasure it, you can make it first person. His power is made perfect in my weakness, you know. Hebrews 4:13, I can draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that I can receive mercy and find grace and help in time of need. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide a way of escape so that you will be able to endure it. When you feel like you just can't go on, I just don't know what to do, God, He's there. He's providing a way. He won't forsake you or leave you. Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I sure don't feel like it, but that's what the Bible says. So it must be true. I could go on and on, but we need to keep moving. Basically, God's truth rules, okay? So we need to let it rule in our lives. Let it rule over your thoughts and emotions, and it will transform them. As your thoughts and feelings become based on His truth, so will your words and actions. It brings peace that passes understanding, gives us strength, directs us, fills us with joy, produces a confidence in His love, in His work in our lives, in His sovereignty, and it enables us to reach out to others with His strength as He directs. We mentioned that Satan is the father of lies. He wants you to be discouraged and depressed and fearful, filled with self-hate, feelings of inadequacy, or sometimes he uses a different approach and he just wants us to be filled with feelings of superiority or pride, okay, selfishness. But don't listen to him, you know. Let your thoughts be Jesus' thoughts. And think on, what should we think on? Whatever is true. Okay, ask yourself that question a lot. We're going to move on to truth about you and others. Do you ever worry about what other people think about you? If you pass somebody in the hallway and they don't say hi, even though you've said hi to them, do you think, what have I done wrong? Why don't they like me? Do you think things like that? I do. Sometimes I try not to. What do you think if somebody hasn't contacted you in a while? Ask yourself, do I know that to be true? Of course not. We don't know what's in other people's minds and hearts. You know, sometimes they're just thinking on what they have to do next, or maybe they're going through a difficult time themselves. And they, when I'm thinking, I tend to frown, you know, and so I may not even notice someone. But it's not because I don't like them. It's because I'm thinking. So we want to think the best about each other. And if we don't know it to be true, then don't think it. Okay? So I have to practice that quite a bit because I always think I know what they're thinking. You know, they're talking about me and it's not good, you know. But that's not true. I don't know it to be true. I mean, and even if it was true, that's their problem. That's not my problem. You know, my problem is what the Lord thinks of me. So we just need to keep trying not to think things that are not true. Sometimes the Lord will lead you to go to the person to find out if it's true. If something's really bothering you, then you should go. I mean, if you don't know whether it is or not, and I've done this, it's really a hard thing to do, but 99% of the time, what I was thinking wasn't true. Just recently at my work, there is a group of people that were making phone calls and explaining something, and I wanted to make a phone call, and they were kind of giving them a list of things, you know, to talk about. And so I asked for the list, and nobody gave it to me. And so I thought, do they trust those other people more than they trust me? You know, what's the deal with that? And so, you know, I tried to rebuke the thoughts, and so I just went to the supervisor and said, now the reason that I can't have that is that because I'm not trusted. Oh no, that wasn't the case at all, and there was a totally different reason for not doing that. And so it just helped me so much just to know, you know. And so if you go to other people, and like if you go to something and you think they're mad at you and you find out that they're really experiencing some difficulty, that gives you an opportunity to minister to that person as well. So the Bible says in Matthew 5:23-24, if you're presenting your offering at the altar and remember that a brother has something against you, leave your offering there and go first. Be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. So that's if your brother has something against you. Also, Matthew 18:15 says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won a brother or sister. Okay? So if you speak out and let people know what they've done, then you could win a person. You know, like I was praying last night, if we can't just be silent. We can't just turn our heads. Sometimes we do need to speak out lovingly into other people's lives. And we need to let them do that to us. You know, we need to welcome sisters who will come and point out things to us that we may be blinded to, you know, and just receive that as from the Lord. And then also we need to know that if somebody doesn't come to us, then we should be okay. We don't have to keep thinking maybe they have something against us or maybe did something wrong, because if we did, then they should come to us. And if they haven't come to us, then maybe we're okay. So, you know, it kind of works both ways. So we can be okay in that. Okay. Sometimes when someone is nice to you, do you ever think, oh, they're just being nice, they have to do a good deed for the day, or they feel sorry for me? You know, stop thinking like that. I'm only giving these examples because these are all things that I have thought before, so now you know how depraved I am. So they're really only speculations. They're not true, okay? What we should think about instead is what God thinks about us, not what other people think about us. And we're his child. We're the apple of his eye. He's crazy about us. And so we need to think on those things. When you think on those things, you're more energized and you can be an encouragement to others. And when you don't think on those things, you're really kind of insulting your creator. You know, when you think, I'm just a worm, you know, God loves everyone. He made everything perfect except me. You know, where did he go wrong? You know, so you don't want to think that. We want to see ourselves as God sees us, not to be proud in our own flesh, but just to be blessed, you know, that God loves us, and to give that blessing out to others as well. Okay, Matthew 5:16, we already heard that this morning. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's talk about the future a little bit. Do you ever worry about the future? Are you a little bit anxious about it, especially in light of the election coming up or anything like that? Okay. Is it true? No, not yet. You know, so don't worry about it yet. It's not true. So a lot of times we waste so much time worrying about the future that we're not very good in today. You know, we're rendered useless or less useful for today because our mind is on the future and we're worried about that. And usually our worries and fears about what happens are like way worse than what actually will eventually happen. So we've wasted all that energy and that time where we shouldn't be worrying. Matthew 6:34 says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Okay? Be anxious for nothing. So if you catch yourself worrying or fearing that something may happen, what should you ask yourself? Is it true? No. The answer is no, it's not true. You know? So you stop yourself right there, and then instead of just leaving a vacuum in your mind, turn your thoughts to what is true and think on those things. That's how your mind is transformed, to think on whatsoever is true. Because if you're in a vacuum, then that thought's going to come back to you, and it's going to come back to you in a different thought that'll, you know, say, yeah, that must be true. You know? So replace your thoughts with God's word. Okay, here's some truth about the future to think on. And so you can, again, memorize some of these. If you have a tendency to fear the future, write out these verses, memorize them so that you'll have them handy when the battle starts. Hebrews 13:5-6, he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. Romans 8:28, I think we all know that. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. I have really clung to that verse a lot lately because I don't see how some things could ever possibly work together for good. But it happens. God does. He does. It said the word says it. So I have to believe it. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. This is what our future is like. We have an abundance. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and what else? A hope. That's right. Romans 16:20, the God of peace will soon crush Satan. Okay? I like that verse. You know, sometimes when I was like, get so mad at the enemy, it's like, this is our future. The God of peace, he's going to crush Satan. And it just seems so paradoxical to me. The God of peace will soon crush Satan, you know, but he will. He's a God of peace and power, and he wins. He's already won, and someday his victory is going to be final, and Satan's going to be cast into the lake of fire. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. As you make that personal, my God will supply all my needs. I don't need to worry about the future. According to his riches in Christ Jesus, that's everything, you know. He's got it. He's got this. Psalm 73:24, with your counsel, you will guide me, and afterward receive me to glory. 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. This is our future. We don't need to fear death. It was mentioned earlier today, too. Psalm 23:6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So this is our future. God's truth about your future is good. Your worries about your future are not true. They exist only in your imagination. When the future arrives, God will give you the grace to go through it. And he will be with you each step along the way. He promises that. You can plan for the future and set goals, but be sure to leave it in God's hands, because his ways are above our ways. He already knows the future, and his plans for you are good. How about the past? Do you ever regret things in the past, and you think thoughts like, what if this would have happened, or what if I hadn't have done that? Is that true? No, because you already did that. You know, it already happened. You can't go back and change it. You know, we don't have one of those cars like Back to the Future, you know, where we can, sometimes we wish, oh, if I could only go back and change it, but that's not true. So we don't want to waste our energy and our time thinking and wishing something would have been different, because it's not true. It did happen. And it'll only rob us of our peace and our joy in the present if we keep dwelling on things in the past. You know, if there's something that you need to do to make something right, yeah, to give forgiveness or to receive forgiveness or make restitution, then the Lord will lead you to do that, and he'll give you the strength to do that. But to just worry and wish something was wrong, it's not true. So we need to keep our minds on the things that are true. Whatever is true, think on these things, right? Philippians 3:13-14. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal, the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. That was even in our skit. So the Lord's giving us these verses that he wants us to hold on to. You know, I used to wish that I had a more exciting testimony, like saved from a life of sin and degradation and a dramatic change in my life, but I was saved when I was 12, a life of goody-two-shoes, and, you know, it wasn't very exciting. So I used to wish that I had a different story until I met a girl, and she had one of those past and one of those exciting testimonies, but she had scars from her past, you know, and every time she would walk past a bar, every time something would remind her of that, and she would just feel so grieved. You know, and maybe you've had a past like that and you feel so grieved, but you know the Lord has cleansed you, you know, and so we don't need to look back at the past with regret. God knows each one of our stories, and because of your story, you can reach out to people that I can't reach out to. I don't know what it's like to be addicted to drugs. I don't know, you know, but you do, and God allowed you to go through that so that you can reach out to people who are going through that now. So his ways are perfect, you know. And so let's not dwell on the past, but let's just thank him. Maybe you're bitter about things that have happened to you in the past. Maybe you just keep rehearsing the wrongs that have been done to you, and you're just determined, I'm not going to forgive that. I'm not going to forget that. You know, that only hurts you, and it makes you ineffective. So we need to let go of those things. Do you ever feel like God has turned his head and he just didn't love you enough to intervene when bad things were happening to you? He was there with you. He grieved at your distress and the evil in this world. And that's why he sent his son to take away the sin, to take the sin of the world upon him so that it could be dealt with. Jesus won the victory over sin and death. Romans 8, 28 to 29 is God's promise that any and all negative events in our past will be overruled and worked for the good to make us more like Christ. By his transforming power, God will redeem even the worst, most painful, and most perplexing aspects of our past. Joel 2:25 says, I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. That's been another verse that I've clung to. No matter how bad our things have been, God will restore to us those years. Maybe sometimes as a mom, you know, you wish, I hadn't yelled at my kids. You know, I've scarred them for life. And when they're teenagers, they'll tell you that. You know, maybe not. Actually, mine didn't, so I was so blessed. But you know the mistakes that you made. And but God can redeem those years. And he chose me. I had to keep telling myself the truth during that time, too. He chose me to be their mom. You know, I knew my inadequacies so well. And but somehow God chose me to be their mom. And he worked in their lives in spite of me and sometimes through me. And, you know, so praise the Lord for that. He is in control. You think of people like Corrie ten Boom or Victor Marx. Many of us know his testimony. Just things that happened to them that were beyond anything I could imagine, horrendous things. And yet God has used them so powerfully, so powerfully. And so he can redeem, he can overrule our past, and he can make it come out for good. Here's some more truth about that. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ear attends to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. 1 Peter, by the way, is just a wonderful book if you're suffering. Two more from 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4:19, therefore, all those who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right. When you're in the midst of suffering, pray this and believe this. You know, I don't understand it, but I trust you, Lord, that you're doing what is right. 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. He's not going to send an angel to do it. He's going to do that himself, the God of all grace. And so we have that as our promise. So now let's talk a little bit about the present, okay? Your current circumstances in life, are you disappointed in them? Do you wish they were different? Do you wish your marriage was different, or your lack of marriage? Do you wish that you were married and you're not? You wish your children were different, or your financial situation, or your health were different. What is true? It is what it is, you know. You know, that's not in the Bible, but it is. I mean, you know, whatever your current situation is, that's where God has you, okay? And so let's not spend so much energy and time wishing it were different. Let's just deal with what we have, you know, deal with it in the light of God's word. Spend time praying or taking steps to resolve things or taking advantage of the opportunity. If we keep wishing things are different, we don't take advantage of the opportunity before us. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. His grace is sufficient. And you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Even if you're in the midst of something that you don't think you could possibly get through, His grace is sufficient. He will get you through it. Psalm 118:24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." You know, in each day, let us thank God. And one of our other books was, you know, developing a habit of thankfulness, you know, in the midst of everything. We are to give thanks in all circumstances. Okay, so you remember the four ways to know God's truth? First one was memorize it. We did that. Second one was meditation. We just finished the meditation part. Okay, and the next one is pray it and do it. Okay, we're going to move on to praying it now. Why don't you just join me in a word of prayer now? Lord God, it is a crazy world where we live. Lord, people think that truth is relative. People have different perspectives of things, and people can't agree, Lord. Even there's so many different denominations because people interpret your word differently, Lord, but your word is truth, and your Holy Spirit lives in us. Lord, show us, please, what you want us to believe. Show us which scriptures we need to hide in our heart, Lord, that we won't sin against you, and also that we'll be prepared when the attacks come. Lord, you say that you'll be with us through the fire, which means that there's probably fire coming. Lord, we shouldn't consider it strange when a fiery ordeal comes to us. Your word says that. And we will have trouble in this world, but you have overcome that, Lord. You have overcome the world. And we want your peace, Lord. You promise your peace. So please help us, Lord. Please transform our minds, Lord, as we stand on your word, as we receive your word, as we give out your word to others, Lord. Please remind us when our thoughts are not your thoughts. Make us aware of that, Lord, and help us to take those steps to reel in those thoughts, to confess, repent of those thoughts, and to take on your thoughts, Lord. Help us make this a habit, please, Lord. In Jesus' name. Man. We can't take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ and think on only whatever's true without the Lord's help. So each morning when you wake up, ask Him to help you think His thoughts throughout the day. Ask Him to remind you when your thoughts are not His thoughts so you can confess, repent, turn your thoughts to His. God gave me so many opportunities just in preparing for this to do this and to show me, oh, is that true? And so it's like, no, Lord. And, you know, I'd get so discouraged and think, you know, my husband's just being nice to me because of this and because of that. Or you know, I drove by some really slow person trying to get on the freeway at 30 miles an hour, and this good old guy had his arm hanging out the truck, and, you know, so I was, finally, when I got a lane I could pass him, I thought, oh, I'd like, you know what I'd like to do to that arm, but, you know, and I, fortunately, the Lord, I mean, so I'm telling you, I am struggling with that, I have not arrived, okay, but at least the Lord said, what, you know, is that true? I was like, no, Lord, of course I wouldn't want to do that to his arm, and of course I know you love him, so I started praying for him and asking, you know, the Lord's forgiveness again, you know, and just things like that. So it is like a constant thing, but if we do it, if we practice it, just like those doctors and attorneys practice what they do, then we can get it to where more often we think God's thought and less often. But even when Satan left Jesus, he left him for a time, you know, because he'll come back and he'll, you know, try again to plant other thoughts, but we need to keep doing it. Another thing that you can do in the prayer area is pray through the Bible. As you read just any passage in the Bible, pray through it. There's a lot of really good prayers in the Bible, and I have put them on note cards, and I personalize them, you know, so, and sometimes you can pray them for other people, like, Lord, help me to understand the height and the depth and the breadth and the width of your love for me. And even if you're praying like in Old Testament, challenge yourself. See if you can pray through everything. You know, so you read about Absalom, Lord, help me to please not be like Absalom. Help me to do this or, you know, whatever. As you pray through each part, just pray. And that way you're actively engaged in reading. You're not just reading and wondering 5 minutes later, what did I just read? Okay, so pray through it as you read it. Colossians 1, 9 to 10 says, for this reason also, since the day we have heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See if you can make prayer out of every single verse that you read. Okay, now we're at the part to do it. So the little cards that you have, can you guess what you should write on there? So the question that you should ask yourself, is it true? So write it as big, as bold as you want. And then when you get home later, make some more cards. Put them on your mirror in the bathroom. Put them on your dashboard in your car. That's where my thoughts get really wild sometimes. Ask yourself, is it true? Okay, the things that you find yourself thinking about, is it true in the light of God's word? Okay. So that's a question to keep asking yourself. And when you think about it, you know, when we talked about the opposite, what's not true, don't think on those things. It's a command. Think on these things. So to not think on these things, it's disobedience, you know. So we don't want to disobey our Lord. We don't want to sin. So it's important, you know. So somehow we need to convince ourselves this is important. We need to do it. So that's a good way to remind yourself. And the same with Bible verses. As, you know, we read through a lot of different Bible verses, what the truth says about this, what the truth says about that. You know, if there are areas in your life that you struggle with, then seek the Lord and ask him to lead you to those verses and then memorize it. Put those on cards, put them everywhere. And when the battle strikes, you know, when those thoughts come at you, instead of just, where's my word? Where was that? Somewhere in here. Then you've got it. It's in your heart. And you can, you know, it's a sword of the Spirit. Just stab that enemy. Take that. You know, I'm as bold. The righteous are as bold as the lion. You know. And so whatever it is that God, you know, that you struggle with, be prepared with your word. Okay. So we're going to take just a moment now and write down some things that are bothering you right now. Okay, some things in your life that you're struggling with. Maybe there are things in your relationships with others. You can write them on your, probably on your notes, you know, in your book or wherever you want to write them, really. Ask the Lord, what are these things? You know, do I feel like no one loves me? Do I feel inadequate? Am I prideful? Am I selfish? You know, whatever it is that you're struggling with right now. And then ask yourself, is it true? And ask the Lord to reveal to you from his word what is true about that, what you should be thinking about. Then even over lunch, you know, maybe your conversations, you know, help your sisters, help one another. Sometimes other people, we can share relationships and verses that have really helped me might also help you, and that you haven't thought about and I haven't thought about what you've thought about, and you know, let's help each other in sharing the word of truth. You know, this is what God says about that. I know you feel this way, but believe this because it's true. And then the last action step is make a plan to spend time each day getting to know God's word by memorizing it, meditating on it, praying it, and doing it. If you don't have a plan, you're less likely to do it. And I know probably a lot of you already have that plan. You have that special time with the Lord set aside every day, and you guard it and you protect it. And if something happens that it has to move to another time, you don't just discard it altogether, but you make sure that you spend time in God's word. Philippians 4:8, whatever is true, think on these things. John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Let's just pray before we close. Thank you so much, Lord, for your word of truth. Thank you, Lord, that it's dependable, that you're dependable, you are faithful and true. Lord, please show us, Lord, please show us where we're believing the wrong things. Lord, help us to stand on your truth. Lord, help us to know your word. Lord, help us to recognize when our thoughts are not your thoughts. Lord, to reel them in, to cast them out, and to replace them, Lord, with your word of truth. Lord, so that we can shine brightly. Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light to our path, Lord. Thank you. We need you. We need it. Lord, please transform us through the light of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.